Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
Well, if you'll find your outline for this morning, we're in a series that we've entitled Pray Like This, and we're looking at the Lord's Prayer. And as we've been doing the last few weeks, let's do it again this morning. Let's say that prayer together. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The pattern for confidently communicating with God. Jesus says, you pray like this. This morning the word is align. What do you and I need to do to align ourselves with God? He says these words in verse 10 of Matthew 6. May your kingdom come soon. Now here's the great thing. We're not only children of the king, we are also citizens of God's kingdom. You and I belong to another kingdom. Now to understand this and how this works, we need to do a little history. So let's look at learning about the kingdom. What do we need to learn? What do we need to know? I want you to understand that what God intended was he intended for to have a people who he could speak to and they would do what he said. Now, how many of you understand that when you speak to somebody and give them instruction, if you had children, let's say, don't you expect them to do what you want them to do? And he always wanted what was best for them. He always had their best interest at heart. He always had good things for them. Sometimes it was hard what he asked. Sometimes it was difficult. Sometimes they didn't fully understand. But as long as they did what he said to do, everything went well. And so what was instituted was down throughout in the Old Testament, as you read it, God developed leaders in the children of Israel, and he had these certain men rise up who were called prophets. And these prophets spoke for God. Children of Israel, it wasn't about a booming voice that came out of heaven and said, do this, now do this, now do this. It was the prophets that spoke. And so the prophets would speak to the people and to the leaders. The leaders would go to the people. This is what God says to do before they went to war, before they did anything. What does God say? Let's do what God says. And God would say to do this, and they'd do it. And sometimes God would say to do it, and they'd say, we don't like that. We don't want to. Kind of like us, right? So it comes to a climax. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 1. As Samuel's the prophet. Samuel's the man who spoke for God. He grew old. He appointed his sons to be judges over Israel. Judges, by the way, were the same as what we would call prophets. They used the term interchangeably many times. Joel and Abijah, his oldest sons, held court in Beersheba. But they were not like their father. They were greedy for money. They accepted bribes and perverted justice. Finally, all the elders, leaders of Israel, met at Ramah to discuss the matter with Samuel. Look, they told him, you are now old. Your sons are not like you. Give us a king to judge us like all the other nations have. Now, you and I think, well, the problem was the boys. The problem was not the boys. How many of you understand that if God has someone on earth that he wants to speak for him and they're not living up to what he wants, God has a way of dealing with that, right? So he could have taken care of the boys very easily, right? And he would have, right? Okay, here's the problem. We want a king to judge us just like all the other nations have. Samuel was displeased with their request and went to the Lord for guidance. Why is Samuel displeased? His boys are involved, right? It's about my boys. Verse 7, do everything they say to you, the Lord replied. Now, here's what he says. It is me they're rejecting, not you. God says, it's not about your boys, Samuel. It's about me. They don't want me to be their king any longer. They don't want to listen to me. Ever since I brought them from Egypt, they've continually abandoned me and followed other gods, and now they're giving you the same treatment. Do as they ask, but solemnly warn them about the way a king will reign over them. You know, you got to be careful sometimes what you ask God for, because sometimes God will give you what you want, but it's not what you should have. And that's what he does in this case. Samuel begins, if you follow the reading, go on through it. He says, the king's going to do this, the king's going to do this. He did not paint a pretty picture. The king's going to tax you. Oh, we love taxes, don't we? You know, the king's going to do this. He's going to make your son serve. He's going to do this and this and this. He goes through the whole thing. No, we want a leader. You see, God wanted to be in their hearts so he could rule and reign over them. But they wanted to be like everybody else. That's still our problem today, folks. We still want to be like everybody else. Because you see, God says, look, I've got a kingdom here and I'm the king, but they don't want me to be king anymore. They want another king to be like all the other nations. You see, because there's a big difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world or the kingdom of Satan or the kingdom of darkness. It's called all those things in the Bible. You see, in this kingdom of this world, we think mankind's basically good. In God's kingdom, mankind is basically sinful. We're evil. In this kingdom over here, my opinion matters. What I think is what is big. Over here, it's God's word is what matters. Over here, it's the external, the looks, the actions. Over here in God's kingdom, it's the internal. In the kingdom of this world is, you know, I want to be in control. I want to take care of myself. I don't want anybody telling me what to do. Over in God's kingdom, it's I want God to control me. I don't want to be my own boss. Over here in this game, my body's my own. I can do what I want with it. If I want to mark it up, if I want to do this to it, if I want to do that to it, I can do whatever I want. After all, it's mine. Over here, it's your body's not your own. You've been bought with a price. You need to honor God with your body. You see, over in this kingdom, it's about political systems. Got a little news for you, folks. The United States is not representing God's kingdom. Okay? Getting the United States back is not going to establish the kingdom of God. That's not what it's about. It's not about political systems. If you think political systems are the answer, you are wrong. Okay? Over here, it's about the understanding that it's spiritual. In fact, here, let me tell you, I'm going to use a bad word that a lot of people don't like. You know what it's about over here? It's about the church. You see, and the world does everything it can to destroy the church, doesn't it? His body, we're called. Over here, I own. Over here, God owns. Over here, it's about logic, me understanding my feelings, my emotions. Over here, it's about faith. Over here in God, this kingdom, I got to protect myself and I got to take care of me because if I don't look after me, nobody else will. We live in a dangerous place and we got to be careful and we got to take care of this and we got to take care of this. We got to make sure I'm not getting anything that's harmful to me. I got to legislate all the food and I got to legislate all the way people act and I got to do all this and I got to protect myself. Over here, it's God will take care of me. God's my protection. Over here, it's challenge authority. I don't need anybody telling me what to do. Over in God's kingdom, it's you respect your leaders and you pray for them. You obey them. Oh, we don't like this kingdom, do we? You see, over in this kingdom, it's independent. Here, you got to be dependent. It's about resentful and revenge, and I'll get even. I'm not going to let anybody hurt me. And over in God's kingdom, it's about forgiveness. It's about love. Over in this kingdom, it's about priorities. You do good things. You feed people. You have economic and social equality. We want everybody to be equal. We want to do this good deed and this good deed, and we want to raise money for this, and we want to raise money for this. And in and of themselves, they're not wrong. But over in this kingdom, you know what the priority is? It's the salvation of the lost. And God said, look, I wanted to be their king. I wanted to lead them, protect them, take care of them. But they wanted to be like everybody else. And the problem with us today, we want to be like everybody else. Yeah, we don't like the world. but don't make us be different. Okay, I'll go on. A little history. You come into the New Testament. What are the people of Israel still doing? They're looking for a king. Someone to come on this earth, establish his kingdom, somebody to rule and reign, establish England. In fact, the disciples spent all the years with him and he had rose from the dead and he's getting ready to leave. What's one of their last questions to him? Are you now going to establish the kingdom here? They're still looking for it, aren't they? Aren't we? We still are. Now, let's talk about living in this kingdom. What do we do to live in the kingdom of God? What do we do to live in a manner that honors God, not get caught up with having to be like everybody else? Well, there's a couple of things that we need to do. First of all, we need to embrace the kingdom of God, the embracing of God's kingdom. I've got to be one who says, yeah, I understand it's really different, but I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to take it. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to accept it. I'm going to follow it. I want to embrace it, what it stands for. And how do I embrace it? Well, first of all, I have to understand his kingdom will never end. His kingdom will never end. Luke chapter 1, verse 30. Angel speaking to Mary, don't be afraid. You have found favor with God. You'll conceive and give birth to a son. You will name him Jesus. He will be very great and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne, his ancestor David. He will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. God's kingdom, here's the word we use for it, is eternal. It's an eternal kingdom. It will never end. Let me just give you a little insight. The kingdom of this world, one day it's going to end. One day it's going up in smoke. It's going to be gone. So I need to embrace that. I need to embrace that his kingdom is invisible. And this is perhaps the hardest thing for us. You see, in the kingdom of this world, I can see all this stuff. I can feel all this stuff. I can look at all this stuff. I see what's going on day to day. I see what's attractive to me. I see what I like. I see what's but in God's kingdom, where is it? Luke 17, 20. One day the Pharisees asked Jesus, when will the kingdom of God come? Now remember, when they're asking him this, they are thinking, come to earth, establish the kingdom of Israel, get rid of the Romans, we want you to rule and reign here. Jesus replied, the kingdom of God cannot be detected by visible signs. Yet we all look for them, don't we? Oh, I think that's God. We all look for visible signs, don't we? Oh yeah, I think this is that. Don't you think this is... You won't be able to say, here it is, or it's over there, for the kingdom of God is already among you. And I think when he said that, everybody goes, where? Where? Where is it? It's invisible. You can't see it. So you need to embrace that. You know? Embrace that it's forever, eternal. Embrace that you're not going to see it. And embrace that it's to be the focus of your life. In other words, you focus on something you can't see. Luke 12, 31. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. So don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. Where? Where? I want it now. I want to own it. I want to have it. I want to see it. No, it's invisible. So, Pastor, what am I to do? I am to seek God's kingdom above everything else. I am to make that the priority of my life. Well, how can I do that if I don't see it? Well, hang on. I'm going to get there, okay? But we tend to go after what we see, don't we? Or what we feel. Right? Well, I just feel like they don't like me. I think I need to get even with them. That's not the kingdom of God. Well, I feel like I need one of that. I feel like I've got to have this. We go after those things, don't we? Well, I see that. I want it. I got to have it. Embrace the kingdom. In other words, are you willing to say, okay, God, I understand what's going on here. I understand one day Israel rejected you because they wanted to be like everybody else. But I also understand that at times I've rejected you because I want to be like everybody else. And I understand that if I'm going to embrace your kingdom, that I have to come to a place where I come and I'm willing to just embrace the fact that your kingdom's real, it exists, it's going to be eternal, it lasts forever. I don't see it, but I'm willing to make it the focus of my life. So, what about the entrance into the kingdom? How do I get into this kingdom? What happens? What do I need to do? Well, Jesus tells us, Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, you can enter God's kingdom only. Now, you might want to highlight, circle, underline, whatever you need to do to that little word, only. In other words, there are no other options. There isn't another suggestion. It's only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad. Its gate is wide for many who choose the way. But the gateway to life is very narrow. The road is difficult, and only few ever find it. Jesus said often, you've probably read it in the Bible, oh, I've come that you might have life. What's he saying? You can live in my kingdom. And if you live in my kingdom, it's eternal, it's going to last forever. And when you follow it and live for it and focus on it, then you will find what life is truly all about. But that kingdom over there looks better. I can see it. I like some of the things there. I like what's going on there. Ah, the gateway to the wrong kingdom is wide. A lot of people go there. John 3:3, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Oh, I can see it. I thought you said it's invisible. Hold on. What do you mean, exclaimed Nicodemus? How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Now stop for a moment, because some of you say, born of water and Spirit? What does that mean? Well, my wife and I have 5 kids. I'm a little slow learner. After the second one, I learned there are some magic words that I wait to hear. Okay? Waiting for the third child to be born. Here's the words I'm waiting for. You ready? Tell everybody a little secret. Young people, here it is. My water broke. Huh? When that happens, birth is coming, right? Born of water and Spirit. Born physically and born spiritually. That's what he's saying here. So, verse 6, humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. So you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. You can't explain it. You see, because the kingdom of God takes place in the heart, doesn't it? That's why it's invisible. It's within you. It's something that happens in you. And the only way to get in God's kingdom is through Jesus Christ. It's the only way. If anybody else says they're a part of the kingdom of God and they haven't accepted Jesus, they're deceived or they're lying. One or the other. It cannot happen. Jesus himself said, there is only one way. And he said, I'm the way. And so you and I have entrance into the kingdom when we are willing to accept Christ into our life, being born of the Spirit, and he now lives within us. So here's the deal. The king comes to reign in us and establish his kingdom in our life. Wow. I'm a child of God and I'm a child of the king. And so I enter into this kingdom through the narrow gate, through Jesus Christ. Secondly, then, what about the empowerment of this kingdom? Well, Pastor, if that's the case, how do I live? Now, notice what Jesus just said. It's very difficult to understand. You can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. So when you and I accept Christ, the Holy Spirit begins a work in our life, doesn't he? He comes in and he begins to live there. He begins to set up rulership there. He establishes his throne there. Colossians 1:11, the empowerment of this kingdom. We also pray that you'll be strengthened with all his glorious power, so that you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. Verse 13, please notice, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of the world, and transformed us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Two kingdoms, kingdoms of darkness, kingdoms of light. You and I have a choice to make. Now you see, when you accept Christ, you have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God living in you to rule in your life. He wants to set up shop. He wants to, here's the word, you won't like it. He wants to be the boss. Amen. Get this. I don't understand. It doesn't seem right to me. When God comes into my life, he wants to begin to boss me around. Can you imagine that? The gall of somebody to do that. He wants to tell me what to do. Can you imagine? Boy, some people. Because you know what? There's another part of me that tends to like this other kingdom a little better, because nobody's telling me what to do. I can do what I want. I can say what I want. I can believe what I want. I can have whatever I want. God says if you do that, you can't serve two masters. You can't do it. So where does the power to obey God come from? Romans 14, 17, the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. How do I know I'm living in the right kingdom? I have goodness, peace, and joy. I've told you before, Christians should be the most joyful people on the planet. In fact, the Bible says that you and I are to be joyful always. And if you're going around always grumpy and negative, I would begin to question whether what kingdom you're living in. That's not the way the Holy Spirit operates. You're always critical. That's not God. God hasn't given you a gift of criticism. Your nature just is that way. 1 Corinthians 4:20, the kingdom of God's not just a lot of talk. It's living by God's power. The power of God is the presence of God in the person of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God now lives in you, and he gives you the power to live for him, to do what is right. Well, but I don't see things happening. I don't see what I want to see. Don't people know they should just change? Quit looking at other people. You got, you know, you want to look at somebody, go to a mirror. You've got enough issues on you. Just quit dealing with everybody else's problems. Okay? God says, I'll give you the power to do what you should do, to live for this kingdom, to make it your priority. Galatians 5:19. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, wrong kingdom, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now that's pretty strong, isn't it? But the Holy Spirit, when he's in charge, when you're listening to him, when you're obeying him, he produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, one thing I want you to notice, there's a word there called fruit. Fruit is not plural, it's singular. So here's the question. Is the Holy Spirit in control of your life? How do I know if he is or not, Pastor? Because you have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Well, I don't have all of those. Then you start dealing with it and quit dealing with everybody else's lack of fruit. No one called us to be fruit inspectors. okay, other than expecting my own life. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. And since we are follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every, since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of our life. That's where I get my power. When I follow the Holy Spirit's leading in my life, I have power. When I tend to go against him and do what I want, I lose power. It's a very simple thing, isn't it? Which kingdom will I live for? Now, what Jesus tells us is, look, okay, you know the history. You know what happened. You've seen what Israel did. You see where it got them. Learn from their mistake. I understand, to let you know there's a kingdom out there. You don't see it. You don't fully recognize it. It's invisible. You have to live it by faith. It's an eternal place you can always have, and you need to make it the pursuit of your life. You need to make it your focus. You need to do everything you can to continually go after God's kingdom. And you do that by putting Christ in your life, allowing his Holy Spirit to direct your steps, and you follow him and let him lead you, and he will help you do what needs to be done in that kingdom. And while you're doing that, you need to be looking for the kingdom. You need to be looking for the kingdom. Because you see, that kingdom today is invisible, what one day it's not going to be. The kingdom of this world you can see now, but one day you're not going to see it. The kingdom of God you can't see now, but one day you're going to see it. And so you and I look for another kingdom. Now, why is this important? Because you see what? There is hope in front of you, isn't there? There is a reason to do this, isn't there? We know there's a better place for us. We know this is worth it. We know this is what's right. Matthew 24:14. Notice what he says. The good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all the nations will hear it, and then the end will come. So what's he saying? We work in God's kingdom. We work in God's kingdom. What do we work at? Giving the good news. Now, let me just tell you something. Satan will do everything he can to get you sidetracked. He'll get you involved in good things to do good projects, but not what needs to be done. What's the priority of the kingdom of God? What's our priority? It's salvation. Bible tells us, didn't put the verse in, had way too many verses to put in this morning, but you know, he's not coming back because he wants more people to be saved. So what are you and I doing in our lives so that more people can be saved? Well, I'm really involved in helping these people and helping these people. That's fine. Helping people is a great thing to do. But you know what? If you're not giving them the gospel, you haven't helped them. Now the world, that kingdom, scoffs at us, laughs at us, and tells us we're out of touch. But God's kingdom is about taking his message to the world. And we work at that. That's a priority. Okay, that would have been a great place right there for a little amen or something, you know, just to kind of say, you're right, Pastor. I know, you know, it's too late now. You don't get credit for it now. You would have gotten credit for it earlier, but not now. All right? You see, when we pray for God's kingdom to come soon, we're praying for the success of the gospel. Because here's the deal. God's kingdom isn't coming until the gospel gets out. Right? God, I want your kingdom to come soon. So what are you praying? I'm praying that the gospel is going to get out. I'm praying that people are going to get saved. That's what I'm praying for. You work for that. That's our task. That's our mission. 1 Corinthians 15:50. What I'm saying, dear brothers and sisters, is that our physical bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These dying bodies cannot inherit what will last forever. Now there it is. There's another kingdom, kingdom of God. It's eternal, right? The body that you and I have today won't live there. It's like going out in outer space. If you don't have a spacesuit on, you explode. Your body has to be changed in order to exist. Verse 51, but let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. we being Christians. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Then when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, the scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where's your victory? Oh, death, where's your strength? For the sin that is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God he gives victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So my dear brothers and sisters, be strong, immovable, always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. See, the world wants to tell us what we're doing is useless. God says, no, it's not, ever. What you're doing to reach people is never useful. So we work. We're looking for his coming. We want him to come again. And until he does, we keep working, right? Because that's what we do in the kingdom. Secondly, we wait. We don't get impatient. We don't try to figure it all out. Now, waiting doesn't imply I'm doing nothing. Sometimes we think of waiting like me waiting on my wife. Okay? That's not that kind of waiting, okay? Because I just talked about working. In other words, waiting means what? We keep busy with what we're doing, and we have patience while we're doing it. And we don't quit. Philippians 3:20. We're citizens of heaven, another kingdom, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we're eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. Eagerly. He'll take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power which he will bring everything under his control. If you want to pray confidently this morning, when you begin to pray, one of the parts of your understanding needs to be this: God, I want your kingdom to come soon. So God, when I pray, I'm going to be praying about things in your kingdom. The focus of my prayer is not going to be this kingdom. Where's the focus of most of our prayers? Oh God, would you politically change things? Oh God, would you do this? Oh God, would you do this? That kingdom is doomed. It's going downhill. This kingdom's eternal. Start praying about things that are going to last. Now, God, in your praying for his kingdom, might have you pray about some things over here. But let me ask you a real question. When you pray, is God's kingdom your primary concern? You want to pray with confidence? It's all about God's kingdom, not yours. And you and I come to a place where he says, you pray like this: God, may your kingdom come soon. God, when I'm asking for your kingdom to come, I know that that means that you're waiting for more people to get saved. So what do I need to do to help that to happen? God, I know for your kingdom to come soon, you want your name to be glorified. We've talked about that. You want your name to be kept holy. So God, what do I need to do to keep it that way? Because God, I'm more concerned about your kingdom than I am about mine. I'm more concerned about your kingdom than I am about what's going on I see out here. May your kingdom come soon. And when you keep that as your focus and make that your concern, you can pray with confidence.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.